Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips, strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
This is the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about biting your tongue. Hey, beautiful teachers. Have you ever been tempted to say something that you know you shouldn't say? I think this happens maybe more often than not for teachers, more often than in regular life for teachers, because we have to be so careful about the feedback we're giving and when we're giving it. And I've been thinking a lot about the parallels between the choices we need to make in our communication with students and oil painting lately. So I recently tried my hand at a little bit of oil painting. Now, I'm not amazing at it. That wasn't the point of doing it. The point was mostly just to try it. I have tried most forms of physical art, be it pottery, different painting mediums, gouache, watercolor, acrylic, because I went to art college. I've tried all these different things, but I had never used oil paints. And I thought, hey, let's give that a go. I just had it a little bit of an inkling that I wanted to give it a try, and so I did. And so I learned a little bit about the process and how it's different, mostly from acrylic, because that would be my closest comparison. Now, I'm not here to teach you a bunch of stuff about oil painting, but I do want to explain a little bit, because I think it can teach us something about teaching, and in particular about the process of gradually working on a piece with a student. I'll explain more. But let's start with oil painting. What you often are advised to do in oil painting is to create an underpainting first. So this is where you kind of block out roughly the shapes of the thing. So I was painting like landscape kind of scenes, so I'd block out, let's say, the mountains and where those shapes are and where the lake intersects with that and where there's a flower in the foreground or whatever. All the big shapes. And you're kind of blocking them out with roughly the depth of that color, let's say. So you usually use one color in your blocking process, or you could use multiple colors, but let's say you use sienna, which is like brown, right? So you use that and you block out the dark areas and the light areas kind of thing. You see it as shadow and light source. Then you start to add paint. And this is where oil painting is quite different to acrylic, because acrylic just dries like... So I was used more to that. I'd done a lot more acrylic painting, especially in college. When you are painting anything in acrylic painting, you can create layers of color in a much different way than you can with oil painting, because the acrylic paint just dries and then you get to apply the other color on top. So if you painted with a color you don't want there anymore, you can pretty much just paint a different color on top of it. But also the layers of creating the shadows and etc., they can just be painted on top. With oil painting, it stays wet. I mean, unless you wait all the time, it would need to dry. And so as you're adding layers of color, you're painting into the color that's already there. And this is the part where, as I do with many things in my life, I started to see the parallels with teaching, because I've been thinking a lot lately about these layers that we work on in a piano piece. Now, maybe let's take it back to old-fashioned, let's say, piano lessons, or a certain way of teaching that I grew up with, where the layers might be hand separate, or even right hand, left hand, hands together. Rhythm is maybe the next layer, like you're so focused on pitch up to that point. And then you think about dynamics and following those rules. And then you think about, right, so those are kind of the layers. But that's not usually the layers we think in as a teacher. But at the same time, we can't just slap the finished painting onto the canvas. We can't just expect our student to play the finished version of the piece. Now, there's caveats to this. If they are a beginner student, of course we can usually expect them to fairly quickly play the finished, maybe not most professional version, but a finished version for them of that piece fairly quickly. But as students progress through the intermediate levels, there are these stages to working on that piece with a student. A big mistake I see with a lot of new teachers is that they try to apply the wrong paint, the wrong feedback, the wrong decisions and changes to that piece too early. So the student would usually make the error of going too fast too soon, right? That's one way of applying the wrong paint at the wrong stage of the painting. But the teacher often gets too bogged down in details, especially details of expression, especially stuff that we find interesting, like, how are we really going to treat the petaling here? Or let's think about this articulation and how it applies to Mozart versus Beethoven. Like, we can get so bogged down in the stuff that we maybe find most interesting, whatever that is for you. But that might not be the correct layer for your student this week. And you can't just apply all the layers. If you do that with oil painting, well, it'll end up as a cracked mess when it dries, but it'll also just be a big mush. It'll just be all brown. I mean, it'll just turn into mush. And that's what happens to pieces as well. They turn into mush. I've seen this happen. And they're confused. There's no trajectory. So the student is physically confused, but the playing of the piece, the music that's coming out, is confused. So let's think about the layers. What do we aim for first? Now, this could vary by piece. But let's say we aim for rhythm accuracy first. That's probably most commonly where I am focused first with a bigger project piece with a student. I can fix small note errors later if I have to. Not that they're not important, but they're not as big a deal as if the student's rhythm is bananas. If the tempo is all over the shop, right? We need the rhythm to be accurate first. We need a student to be able to play with good rhythm and a steady tempo. Not the finished tempo, absolutely not, but a steady tempo. Now, that may be in shorter sections or the massive piece, but there should be some semblance of, okay, we're aiming towards a point where we can play this whole thing at a consistent tempo with accurate rhythm. Because once you're coming up with the notes on time, it's actually not as big a deal to change that F into the F sharp as it is to try and alter where the notes are coming in time, right? That linear time-based movement is harder to alter than the vertical, as we deal with in music notation, that is, pitch. It's just harder. Rhythm is my first layer. That's like the underpainting. Everything is in the right place. Right? I've got my shapes in. Yeah, they're not the right color. Yes, there's some details to put in, but the shapes are there. And we can start to see what's going to happen, even if it's rough. The outlines of them are a little bit blurry. We can get it. We can get a picture of the beginning of it. Okay, what do we apply next? Well, yeah, we fix the pitches. I think we fix those as we go. I don't see that as a whole other layer at this level. I'm not talking about beginners learning to read. I'm talking about intermediate students who pretty much should be able to read the pitches. That's not the hard part. For the most part, we've got the rhythm in place. Now, what do we start to do? Well, we start to put in some of the bigger blobs of color that are going to be there. So those could be the big dynamic shapes. It could be the petaling. It could be other details that are broader, that give an overall shape of the piece and start to bring it into relief. And maybe in some cases that is doing short bits fast, because we can't get the shape of the piece until we're trying at least sections of it at this full tempo, but probably not the whole thing at full tempo. So now we're starting to see it take shape, and then gradually, eventually, we apply smaller and smaller pieces to this, smaller and smaller layers, until eventually in painting we come in with the white. A lot of oil painting teachers, by the way, if there's experts out there, it's fine if this is wrong, I don't mind, but go with me. A lot of oil painting teachers will tell you to apply the white last, because you can't really undo it very successfully. So titanium white just sort of goes and stays. If you try to blend it out, you're going to make a gigantic mess. You have those white spots, or the very light areas of your painting, if it's not white, last. And those are those details that some teachers fixate on too early because they're so interesting. What exact choice are we going to make here? What are we going to do there? What technique are we going to use here to achieve that specific sound? Not the fundamentals of the technique, but individual little decisions. Those are the specks of white. And the thing is, we have to be patient. We have to wait until it's the right time to apply those little things that bring it to life. I mean, they're the magic. But we do have to wait for them. We can't try to put them in too early. We can't expect beautiful balance out of an intermediate student who doesn't have the experience to do that intuitively right from the outset. They need to get the rhythm right first. We need to get the fundamentals in place. They need to be playing the right notes. Then we can look at these beautiful details and help them make it sing. Let me know what things you sometimes advise students on, give feedback about, or adjust with students too early. Are you guilty of this? Can you hear in what I'm saying, what I'm getting at, something that you do in your studio? I would love to hear about your experiences and things you've noticed in your own teaching in the comments. Vibrant Music Teaching membership costs less than the price of one lesson each month. That is totally worth it for all of the courses, games, resources, downloadables, printables that you can get access to as a member, as well as a fabulous community support you'll find inside. Go to vmt.ninja and become part of the revolution.